This is the day the Lord has made. Hiller 1:1.
Read your
Bible and do what it says. Okay. Ron, can you wave your hand? Ron Hiller is in the front. Say hi to Ron Hiller.
Are we coming?
Mm-hmm. Coming. Coming. Back in the 1970s, let's see, I moved to Oregon in 76, so it had to be somewhere around 1978. Does that sound familiar, Ron? 78. We went to a camp's farthest out camp at Camp Magruder on the coast. It might have been 78, 79, and this young couple, Ron and Bonnie Hiller, were doing some puppet plays, and they were invited by the CFO, Camp's Farthest Out people, to put on this puppet ministry. And I think Ron was working for the BLM at the time, and he was doing like a lot of ministers do. You have your regular job and you make some money, and then on the side you do your ministry. And God blessed the ministry so much that they finally decided that this was the call of God on their heart to take this ministry full time. And they started booking churches and camps and vacation Bible schools. And they spread out all over the Pacific Northwest. Then they got invitations. I can't remember the order, but I know you did Wales and England quite a few years. And then they ended up in the Philippines. And they went to the Philippines more than once, didn't you? And twice? Okay, this ministry has just been everywhere. And what is amazing to me is that while adults will watch and laugh and it's fun, kids really pay attention. And the numbers of children and young people and even adults who have either given their heart to Christ the first time or renewed their faith in Christ through this ministry is just, the statistics are amazing. And you are in for a treat this morning. Unfortunately, God has somehow allowed Ron Hiller to walk around or ride around now with Parkinson's disease, and he has been unable to be on his post. Now, this is his post. I am now Ron.
Hi, Ron.
I've never been Ron before. So after 40 years or more of doing this, Ron is he is praying like crazy right now, even though he's not on his knees. He is praying. Oh, my gosh. After a season when Ron's Parkinson got to be more than he was comfortable trying to deal with up here, their son Matthew moved back from back east, Tennessee, moved back here, and the son Matthew married the marvelous Wendy. Wendy, wave your hand. Yes, Wendy Hiller. And they have, I think the count is 12. 12 children under 18 living at home. How many of you ready for this, huh? So Matthew would be Ron. So Matthew took this post for a while. And then these are questions I have for God. I'm sure Ron, Bonnie, and Wendy especially have this question for God. What's the deal? Why in January did the Lord allow Matthew to be taken or take him or however that works? Wow. Wendy's going to share with us in a little bit some of what the Lord has been doing in her heart because of this great event. The title for this program is Loving God, and I think we have a song. So hit the song. So the title for this program is Loving God and Loving Others. In John 4, 7 through 12, it says, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Since God so loved us, we also should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." What are you doing?
I'm shaking all over.
Well, that's pretty obvious, but why?
Oh, well, you see, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said we are the salt of the earth. So I'm shaking myself all over everybody.
He also said we are the light of the world.
Yeah, I know. I was letting my light shine, but the electric bill got so high, I thought I'd work on my salt shaking instead.
I can see you don't understand those verses.
I understand them. It means we shake our love all over people. But sometimes I feel so good, I want to take my lid off and pour my whole shaker full of love on somebody who needs it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you can also say that the body of Christ is one big salt shaker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God shakes each of us grains over the earth to do the job of seasoning.
Ooh, is that why I get shook up sometimes when other Christians rub me the wrong way? Because we collide in the salt shaker?
Could be.
Ah.
But remember, you should be out doing your job of seasoning instead of hanging around the salt shaker of church, trying to run everyone else's seasoning business.
But it's so nice and cozy in here. Hey, how about if I take a whole group of Christians out and help me win my neighborhood to Jesus?
No, I don't think that'd be a good idea. Let me explain why. If you could go to the fanciest restaurant in Beaverton and order the best meal, what would it be?
Oh, okay. A blizzard at Dairy Queen.
That's what you'd choose? That's not really a balanced meal.
Yeah, but if I have the Snickers Blizzard, it has peanuts in it for protein. Yeah. Anyway, just to make you happy, I'll have fries on the side, okay? Something salty? Yeah, that's balanced. Yeah, that's
yeah,
balanced.
Yeah. Okay. Now take the salt shaker.
Yeah?
Take the lid off and dump a pile of salt on those French fries.
Oh, no! That would taste terrible. You sprinkle it lightly for good taste.
That's exactly what I mean.
Oh, I get it. Too much of a good thing isn't good. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess I need to work on my neighbors one at a time instead of dumping all my friends on them at the same time. Okay. But you know what? I keep having to come back to the shaker of church to get all salted up again.
Yes, that's what we're here for.
Oh.
And you should be bringing in other grains so we can become the giant economy size.
You know what? I think a few grains of sand have slipped in along with the salt. You know, some of the family at my church is a little gritty.
Well, just give God a chance.
Okay.
Yeah. After that grain of sand rubs around and the salty people for a while, he'll be so salty, he'll never remember his sandbox days.
Ah, okay. Yeah. You know what? I guess we just have to be patient and keep letting our salt shine. You know, we shouldn't hide our shakers under a bushel.
No. It's your light that shines. You're still mixed up.
Oh, I don't know. But all this talk about salt has made me thirsty. I think I'm going to get a drink of living water.
I don't think he gets it, huh? Still doesn't get it. Well, as she tries to figure things out, we understand that we are the blessed ones. God helps us as we serve Him. He promises in Philippians 1:6, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ."
He drives me crazy. He drives me up the wall. I mean, the things he says and does, I can't stand to be around him.
Willie, I heard you yelling from a mile away.
Whoa.
You seem to be a little upset.
Upset? No way. I'm a Christian. Christians never get upset. All right, let me rephrase that. I'm a little bit upset, okay? I think I have it under control.
Sounds like you're having a problem relating to someone.
It is a relating problem, because he's a relative. You know, you can choose your friends, but not your relatives. It's my brother. I just want to wring his neck sometimes. Do any of you have a brother or sister who drives you crazy? Let me see a show of hands. Whoa, yeah, you know what? I think they know what I mean. Yep.
Have you been praying, Willie? Have you been praying for your brother?
Yes, I have been praying that he will move to Australia. Or he could be on the first tourist shuttle for Mars. Yeah.
Willie, you know that you're standing at a crossroads. Yeah, there they are. You have a choice to make.
Crossroads. That is a great idea. Whichever road my brother takes, I'll take the other road. Yeah, that's good.
That's not what I meant.
Oh.
You have the choice of continuing to get frustrated and upset.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can choose to let him drive you crazy.
That's easy. That's really easy. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you can ask Jesus to love him through you.
Okay, just wait a minute here. When Jesus said to love your enemies, he didn't know my brother. Otherwise, he never would have said that. Never would have said it.
I think you might be choosing the wide, easy path with an attitude like that. The narrow path is harder.
If it involves loving my brother, it's impossible.
Nothing is impossible with God. Yeah, you can let Jesus love your brother through you.
Wait a minute. You mean I could be like one of those things in the kitchen? Yeah, okay, there's these things and water or some other liquid can flow through it. You know, it's okay, it's bigger round at the top and then it goes down and it's smaller round at the bottom and things kind of like flow through. You know what I mean? They kind of flow.
Do you know what he's talking about?
A funnel, yes. The love of Jesus, I could be like a funnel. Yeah, the love of Jesus could flow through me to my brother because I can't do it alone.
Well, you weren't meant to do anything alone. Jesus wants to yoke up with you. He'll help carry your problems.
Well, okay, that's cool, but where do the eggs come in?
Eggs?
Yeah, you said Jesus would yoke up with me. I mean, what do eggs have to do with it?
I'm not talking about the yolk of an egg. I'm talking about when two oxen are joined together by a wooden collar. It's called a yoke. A stronger animal is always paired with an animal who is just learning.
You know, I keep forgetting how old you are. I mean, in the olden days, they knew all about that stuff, that yoke stuff. Yeah. You know, because I have seen pictures in my ancient history book about the yoke and the yeah. Okay, so when I am yoked up with Jesus, my problems are going to scramble out of there. You know what? Mm-hmm. We need to be really hard-boiled about this. I mean, we don't want to just walk on eggshells all the time.
Enough of the egg jokes. Enough.
Exactly. You know what? I am going to have to make the supreme sacrifice. My brother needs a lot of prayer. I'm going to have to drop out of school, and I'm going to stay home and pray. Night and day, pray, 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 except for when I watch TV. Pray, 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 except when I'm on the computer. Pray, 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 except when I'm on the Wii. Pray, 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 except when I'm on the iPad.
Sorry, Willie, but you need to go to school.
I tried. Okay, but look, if you hear that I've done really bad on a test, it's because I was busy praying. Yeah. The fact that I didn't study has nothing to do with it. Hmm. Yeah. I can't...
Sounds like he needs the prayer, huh? Well, he needs a lot of prayer right now. Right now he's trying to, you know, muster his thoughts and regroup. He's trying to think something about his nose. He's got a head cold. Willie, do you still have a head cold? Keep with the head cold. This is where Ron Hiller was masterful. And he would talk about being yoked up. Telling yokes? I wonder how Willie's coming with his nose. Oh, we're moving along. Well...
Okay,
what are you doing?
Oh, well, I am running around serving Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, why are you carrying that dirty old heart?
Well, it's my heart. I mean, I've had it a long time. All my life, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'd better find out what Ezekiel 36:26 says.
Zeke, yeah, he lives right down the road from me. He has so many video games, you would not believe it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about Ezekiel the prophet.
Yes, Zeke did make a profit because he rented out his video games to his friends.
I'm talking about the man in the Bible.
Oh, that guy.
He wrote a book of the Bible. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, "And I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new and right desire and put a new spirit within you. I will take out your stony heart of sin and give you a new heart of love."
What do you mean? My heart isn't stony. It's just a little lumpy or something. It's just dirty, you know, that's all.
But through God's eyes, he sees it as stony.
Then I have an idea. I will just hide it from God. I'll put it down.
Yeah, that's not going to work. You can't hide anything from God.
Oh.
A stony heart means that you are not doing what God wants you to do.
Well, I always try to do what God wants me to do. Unless...
Yeah, well, what do you mean by unless?
Okay, well, see, there are times that I know I should be really nice to someone, but instead I'm mean and I call them names or something.
That sounds stony to me. It's just like clay.
Oh, I like to work with clay. You know, my favorite thing to make is a little dog. Of course, sometimes it looks like a three-legged hippopotamus, but anyway, at least I made it, right? Right.
Oh, you know okay, I mean? So let's pretend we're working with clay and are making that dog.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's beginning to look pretty good.
Yeah.
But suddenly the clay speaks up. What do you think you're doing? I don't want to be shaped that way. I'll shape myself.
Wow, talking clay, that would really freak me out.
Well, that's just weird. What you do with God.
Uh-oh.
He wants you to be like clay that he can mold and shape into whatever he wants you to be.
Yeah.
And you can know that it will be the very best thing for you. And yet you tell God you don't like what he's doing. You're a piece of talking clay.
Oh, no. You know, I kind of feel bad about that. So you mean that Jesus is trying to mold me and make me into something he wants, and I talk back to him?
Yes, I think you need to repent.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't repent. You see, first you pent, and then you repent. I've never pented before.
No, that's not right.
Oh.
Can anyone tell Cedric what repent means? Kids, any kid, tell Cedric what repent means.
Repent means to say, God, I'm sorry I did this.
Any kid, that's right. Ask for forgiveness and turn from your sins.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm turning.
No, that means you don't go back and do what you've been doing.
Oh.
I'll give you an example.
Okay, example. He's going to give me an example. Ow! You need to say you're sorry. Are you saying you're sorry? You say, I'm sorry. It's that easy, right, kids?
Why don't you talk to the Lord about your dirty heart?
Wait a minute. You haven't said I'm sorry.
It's not on here.
Your mom has taught you to say I'm sorry. Just say,
I'm sorry.
But you kept doing it. I don't think he was really sorry. Do you think he was sorry because he hit me several times?
Okay, that was a really painful... why don't you talk to the Lord about your dirty heart?
That was a painful object lesson.
That's right.
Okay, you know, I'm going to talk to the Lord about this. Okay, this is... Boy, he took a long time to say he was sorry. Aren't you kids glad?
I'm very sorry.
Aren't you kids glad that you say you're sorry immediately whenever... Who's laughing hysterically? Whenever... And you hurt somebody's feelings, you immediately say you're sorry. Aren't you glad, kids? Okay, anyway, what am I doing? I'm going to pray, and it's very private, so don't anybody listen. Okay. Dear Lord, would you please take this stony, dirty old heart and just give me a brand new one, and please forgive me and help me to always do and say what you want me to. I thank you for your love and forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hey, I see the Lord gave you a new heart.
He gave me a new heart. Whoa, that... Oh, no.
What?
Well, what if my new heart gets dirty?
Clean it.
With Tide, scouring powder, Irish Spring...
No, with the blood of the lamb.
Oh, okay, the blood of the lamb. How do I do that?
What did Jesus do on the cross?
He put his casket on him.
I couldn't hear it. But I bet it was right. When you do something wrong, you ask Jesus for forgiveness.
Oh, you know, I bet it's kind of like taking a bath. Because once I decided to take a bath once a month, whether I need it or not. And when I went to school, everybody moved their desks to the other side of the room. I don't know why. But anyway, I am not going to let that happen to my brand new heart. I'm going to ask for forgiveness whenever I do something wrong. And I am going to keep my new heart clean. Did you hear that, Lord? You can get your heavenly bathtub ready.
I don't think you'll find a scripture talking about a bathtub in heaven.
No.
Psalm 52, verses 8 and 9 say, I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints.
Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Bless the Lord, oh my soul!
Gus, I was talking and you interrupted me. What are you doing?
I'm praising the Lord. What else?
Mm-hmm. But why did you choose this moment to praise the Lord?
I have been finding out that I should praise the Lord continually. You know, Psalms 32:1 says, His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Yeah, you have a big mouth, all right.
Well, whatever.
But that doesn't mean praising the Lord out loud all the time.
What other way is there to praise the Lord?
Well, for one thing, Psalm 46:10 says, Be still and know that I am God.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there are times we need to quietly worship the Lord.
Yeah, that is so true, but... You know, Psalm 150, it says to praise him with trumpets and tambourines and crashing cymbals. They aren't quiet, you know. I get so excited when I think of how wonderful God is, I can't stop from shouting, Praise God!
You know, singing is another way to praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah, singing. Oh, that is great. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy.
What are you doing now?
Well, I was singing and dancing, you know. I mean, I'm just so happy I have to hop around a little.
Do you do that at your church?
Only when the pastor's not looking.
Gus. Gus, are you one of those holy rollers?
I don't even have any rollerblades. No, I am just excited about praising the Lord. You know, I just can't stop dancing.
Well, actually, there is another way to praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah?
In fact, King David danced before the ark.
Hey, if a king did it, that makes it official.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, dancing as a way of praise is found in Psalm 149:3.
Yeah, yeah.
You do look excited.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Several weeks ago, I saw a man walk into church who looked really down in the dumps.
Oh.
What would you recommend for him?
He could just try praising the Lord. You know what my favorite way to praise the Lord is? It's shouting. Praise God!
Mm-hmm. I think we've figured that out, huh? Mm-hmm. Actually, shouting his praises is found in many places in the Psalms. 66, 81, 95, 98, and 100.
I knew I had the most popular way to praise the Lord. Hallelujah!
Now, wait a minute. Clapping your hands is talked about in Psalm 47:1 and 98:8.
That is good, but I kind of rather shout, bless the Lord!
Now, here's a lot of scripture. Do you have your ears cleaned out?
Yeah. Whoa. Wait a minute. I don't have any ears.
Well, then how do you hear?
I don't know. Must be a miracle or something. I don't know.
Well, anyway, Psalm 5:11,
yeah,
33:3, 47:6, 57:7, 100 verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14 and Colossians 3, 1 Chronicles and James 5:13 all talk about singing his praises.
That is a lot of scripture.
Yep, yep. And then there's lifting your hands to praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's in 1 Timothy 2:8, Psalm 28, Psalm 63, Psalm 134, and Psalm 141.
You know what? I think there are a lot of ways to praise the Lord, but I still have one favorite way.
It's
shouting.
Yeah.
Praise God! Bless the Lord! Hallelujah!
Yeah, yeah. Say goodbye, Gus.
Goodbye, Gus. Wait a minute. Why should I say goodbye, Gus, when I'm Gus and they're not Gus? I don't understand. It's very confusing. Oh, well,
anyway, the most important...
Bless the Lord!
Yeah, yeah. The most important thing...
Hallelujah!
The most important thing...
Praise God!
The most important thing to remember...
Bless the Lord!
...is the praise comes from your heart.
Amen.
I wonder if Gus is done, huh?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Well, I was done, but I got... You know, I got a fan, an electric fan out there. Oh, boy. Bless the Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Okay, kids.
I'm done.
Just you kids. What does Gus like to do?
Shout.
What kind of shout?
Praising.
What is Gus's favorite word?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. What were the ways that Gus said we could praise the Lord other than shouting?
Clapping,
singing,
whistling,
dancing, whistling. Gus, did you talk about whistling?
I gotta look at my notes.
Are there any other ways that we know to praise the Lord? Raising your hand, lifting your hands was in there, wasn't it? Very excellent.
Praying.
We can praise God through prayer, huh? Excellent.
Yeah,
We have so much we can learn from Gus and Cedric. I wonder if Cedric ever found his nose. It's a terrible thing to lose a nose. Yeah. Cedric has a method of blowing his nose that you and I don't have. He just takes it off and blows on it, you know. I mean, it works really good.
Okay, we just a minute here. We've got a problem. It seems like you were really upset about this whole thing. See, I was back. I was kind of busy. Can anybody hear me? Because that lady forgot to put her mic on. See, I was busy back there. And so, wait a minute. Excuse me. I've got to blow my nose. Okay, I got it. All right, I feel really good now.
All right.
Yeah. It's okay, isn't it?
It's not right. It's upside down.
Oh no! Wait a minute. Is it gonna rain today? I could drown.
Oh.
I'm gonna put my nose on right. Okay. It is on the right.
Kids, what's the matter with Cedric's nose?
His ear.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to put it on right. But first of all, kids, we're going to play a game. On the count of three, everybody take your nose off and put it on your forehead. One, two, three. Wait a minute. Don't they want to play the game? Oh, I forgot your nose stands all the time. You kids are so weird. Your nose stays on all the time. Oh, well.
Yeah. Say goodbye, Cedric.
Bye, Cedric.
Or whatever, my name is. Yeah.
That was Cedric?
Nope.
Was that Willie?
Yep.
That was Willie? Whatever. Taking this ministry to kids all over the United States, practically all over the Philippines, to many of the churches in Wales and England and Scotland. What a fantastic ride they have had of ministry and taking the gospel and the message of hope to kids all around the world. And do we parents pay any attention to the puppets?
Yes.
Yeah, we learn a great deal through this, don't we? You bet we do. Well, as it was working through time, the Hillers had two children, Matthew and Renee, and Matthew grew into this wonderful minister and served here in Banks as a youth minister for a number of years. He sort of turned this town upside down. How many of you were here when Matthew Hiller was ministering? It was just an awesome time as he had energy and drive and verve and life, and often more energy, verve, drive, and life than the rest of us. Then Matthew moves to Tennessee and life begins to change many ways. And then on the telephone, I think it was on the telephone that he fell in love again. Is that right? So I would like you to please give a welcome to Wendy Hiller, who fell in love on a telephone, and she said that she's nervous, she's not a public speaker, but I think her journey and what she's been through in these last months, if not the last year and a half, are worth us hearing about. So would you please welcome Wendy Hiller. Yellow mic. There you go.
I certainly am not a public speaker, and so I will be relying on my notes quite a bit. My husband Matthew was an amazing man of God and an excellent teacher. He was going to be the one sharing today. We knew we were coming several months ago. And so he had planned to be here, and he was very excited because he loved Banks and he loved all of his memories from his time here very much. In fact, we had driven around about a year ago. He took me around and showed me a lot of special places to him. So when we arrived this morning, I kind of lost it for a moment, just all the memories coming back and the things he shared and wishing that he could be the one standing up here sharing today, as we thought he would be, but God had other plans for him. Nearly 4 months ago, we were involved in a head-on collision on our way home from a trip visiting family and friends in Central Oregon. And Matthew went on ahead of me to be with Jesus. And he had such wonderful stage presence and ease in front of a crowd. And like I said, I preferred being out there with you, bouncing a baby on my knee and sitting with all my children. But once again, God has placed me outside of my comfort zone. So here I am. Matthew had planned to tell you our story of how God picked us and all of these children and placed us together into this uniquely large family. I was a foster parent, and God blessed me with babies mostly. I was the baby lady. And so when there was a baby that needed long-term care, they gave that baby to me. And I was happy to have my home filled with all these wonderful children. And Matthew had three children of his own. And so when we got together, we had 10. And then about 6 months after, we were blessed with two more babies, little girls. And they're here in the nursery today, 2 years old and a little over a year old now. Anyway, I left off of my notes and now I'm going to be lost. But anyway, Matthew and I, our story starts many years ago because we were children in the same church. Our parents became very good friends. And I actually went through a little puppet training they did at our church. And so Matthew and I did puppets together. And our families did a lot of things together. We floated the creek together. And we played games together. And cards and picked berries. And just had a lot of fun as children. And then when I was almost 13, my family moved to Montana. My dad was a Foursquare pastor, and we moved over there to start a church. Oh, one thing I forgot to tell you. When we were kids, we were in a parade together, and we were on our little float, and it was like an old-time pioneer church. And my brother was the pastor, and Matthew and I were husband and wife sitting together on this float, and he would act like he was falling asleep in church, and I'd elbow him to wake him up, and it was just a fun memory. And we actually have a picture of that, which we laughed about a lot as we got older and actually did get married. So that was kind of fun. Anyway, we moved to Montana, and our families didn't get together as often because of the distance. And then eventually we each married and lived our separate lives, and went through a lot of trials in our relationships. And eventually we found ourselves on opposite sides of the country as single parents. And neither of us thought we would probably ever get married again until our children were grown up. But and we were okay with that mostly. We had almost given up our dream of having that fairy tale romance and finding that perfect love that we'd always dreamed about. But we just figured it might maybe happen someday, but probably not. Anyway, God brought us together quickly and miraculously. We reconnected on Facebook, of all things. And we spent many, many moments on the phone. In fact, as my children would attest to, we spent every spare moment we could find on the phone. And a lot of times that meant talking all night because we both had children to care for during the day. So we did spend a lot of sleepless nights, but we weren't tired because we had this exciting new love that kept us going. And we just were so thrilled to finally have a relationship like this. And sorry, lost my place here. Okay. So Matthew asked me to marry him on the phone, and he said someday he was going to do a real romantic proposal when we were together. And we never did get to have that moment, but that's okay. We had many wonderful, wonderful moments. And so we started making our plans, and there were a lot of things that had to happen for us to be able to be brought together. He was in Tennessee and had shared custody of his children, and I was here in Oregon at the time. And so we just had to do a lot of praying. Matthew did a lot of fasting and praying. He was a very strong man of faith. And God told him one day, Oregon in October. So he called me and said, this is what God said, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but I will be there in October. So we were excited about that, obviously, and we just started making lots of plans and praying, and financially, that was a huge one for us. How are we going to do this in such a short time? How are we going to join these families together? Where are we going to live? We're going to need a huge house. You know, all of these things were seemingly impossible to us, but we know that nothing is impossible with God. And so Matthew gave notice on his house, and he gave notice that he was going to be quitting his job. And it was a trying time, and he actually did not get the okay that he could leave with his children until the day he left. So he was loading up, packing, doing all these things just on faith that God was going to come through, and the Lord did. So the boys came first, Anders and Eli, and they spent 3 days driving across the country in a U-Haul with a car behind it. And Matthew only stopped once for a 15-minute nap. They did, of course, stop to eat a few times, but he drove for 3 days because he was determined to get here as soon as possible. And so, understandably, he was very exhausted when he arrived, but he was happy. So 2 days after they arrived, we got married on our back deck at our house in outside of Terrebonne, which was 5 minutes from Matthew's parents' home. So he stayed there the first few nights, and we let Anders stay there the first couple months because it was a lot to get used to having so many siblings, so many busy siblings and a very noisy organized chaos is what we like to call our house, but it was a very chaotic place at times. So that's how we started things. And Matthew was thrilled to be back in the Northwest. He had always longed to be back over here. He loved this part of the country. And he was really drawn to the Portland area. That's where his heart was. That's where he wanted to be. And so I had always said I would never leave Central Oregon. I was going to stay there. And I loved the dry desert environment, but he liked the rain. And I said, there's no way I'm going to go to where it's raining. But then when Matthew said it, I was like, you know, I will go wherever Matthew wants to go because he's so amazing. And he told me, you will grow to love the rain. And amazingly, I do now. He showed me the beauty in a rainy day. And we had a lot of wonderful rainy days together. And I'm so thankful for those. So we began searching for a large home. And while we were on our honeymoon at the Oregon coast, we were walking along the beach, hand in hand, of course, dreaming and planning. And we just started talking about what we needed. We made our requests known to the Lord, and we told him we need a large home on some land with plenty of room for all of the children. We need a lot of bedrooms and a lot of bathrooms because at the time we only had two and it was very crowded. We wanted fireplaces or wood stoves, fruit trees, our own well. We had no savings and no extra money, so this, of course, was very impossible. And I'm thinking, I know you have a lot of faith, Matthew, but, you know, it's probably going to be at least 10 years before God pulls all this together for us. But, yeah, let's dream, you know? So, anyway, Matthew just had this faith that God would provide. And he said, we don't have time. We can't wait 10 years. God's going to do this. He's going to do it really soon. And so we weren't even back in our room yet when he received, I can't remember if it was a text or a phone call from his best friend, Jason, who's here today. And Jason said he knew of a house in Vancouver, Washington that he thought would just be great for us. It was probably out of our price range, but you know what? God can do big things. So you guys should come and look at it. And so we made arrangements to swing by Vancouver on our way home and check out this house. Well, the story about how God gave us the house is another huge story, a long story. It's a collection of miracles, visions, and dreams that were given to various people. And within 3 months, we were buying the home and moving in. And we, as part of our dreaming, I forgot to mention, we also had asked the Lord to give us a home where we would either have land that we could build another house for Ron and Bonnie, Matthew's parents, to be close to us, or room in our home so that we could all be together. And this home is huge, and it has another home basically on one of the floors with its own kitchen, living room, everything. So we all are together, just as we had prayed for and asked. And you know, God knows what we want before we ask him for it. So he had all of those details worked out before we even prayed. And then we got the phone call right away. So 6 months after moving into our miracle home, our daughter Olivia moved over from Tennessee. She had wanted to finish out the school year with her friends, so she joined us. And then a few weeks later is when we got our two little baby girls. So we had a perfect dozen living under our roof at this time. 2 months later, our adult son Jason and his wife Alexis moved to Vancouver, so we welcomed them into the home as well indefinitely. They're still there, and we're very glad. And so there were 18 of us living under our roof, and life was grand. Matthew was a fantastic father and husband. He made life a fun and exciting adventure. He wanted to fill each day with making wonderful memories. He was driven to complete as many projects in the house as he could. And there were a lot of things to do to get that home ready for 12 of us. He added in, or 12 children, he added some extra rooms and converted the garage and made little apartment areas for the three boys. He worked hard. He got more done in 1 year than I ever would have dreamed anyone could do. Several people together. He just was amazing. But in spite of as much hard work as he was doing all the time and working full time, he always prioritized his family. He made so much time for us. He was with us for meals. He was always playing and organizing fun things for the kids to do. He had a wonderful balance of working hard, loving the Lord, and taking care of his family and spending time with everyone. Now, I know Matthew had huge plans for us in life and in ministry. He had talked about several things. He was really excited about getting started for the Lord. He didn't know he would only have 1 year with us in our dream home, but he did an excellent job of living life to the fullest and living each day as though it was his last. Now, I've learned some very important things through my time with Matthew, and I'm going to share a few of them with you. First of all, we must never take life for granted. I mean, we hear people say that all the time about how life is short and we shouldn't take it for granted and we should love the people that we're with. And you know, it just becomes something we hear, but really stop and think about it and take that time, because we thought we had forever. We thought God brought us together. We have these children to raise. We've got so much time. But we didn't, because God had another plan. So don't take your life and your loved ones for granted. God had bigger plans for Matthew, and he took him home in what was his perfect timing. I'm so happy that Matthew focused on his children so much while he was here. He was an excellent example of a father's love. Dakota. He was an excellent example of a father's love, which has given our children the blessing of being able to better understand the love of our Heavenly Father. He led us in family devotions, playing the guitar, showing us how to dedicate time for the Lord, how to worship him, and he instilled in our children a love for the Word of God. His commitment to the Lord was evident to those around him, and he made an eternal impact on many lives, especially the lives of our children. So, my question is, are we like that? Do we try to be like Jesus? Do we every day spend time pointing others to him by the way we live our lives and by the words we speak? As a husband, Matthew was perfect, I think, but at least as close to perfect as humanly possible. He showered me with affection and words of love. We learned some hard lessons over the years before we were together. So by the time we finally found each other again, we both wanted a happy, healthy marriage, and we knew that Jesus was the key to that. We also knew that we didn't want to waste time having petty disagreements or arguments. We understood that we must love and respect each other. We agreed to communicate our fears, insecurities, and feelings to each other without taking things personally or becoming angry. We would watch shows on TV once in a while, and there'd be couples having these little spats about just stupid, ridiculous things. And Matthew would look at me and smile and just sigh and say, "Oh, I am so glad we don't do that. I'm so glad we don't waste our time that way." And that doesn't mean that we never had a misunderstanding, but we always took the time to really understand where each other was coming from and to talk about things. And so really, we never fought. It was amazing and it was wonderful. We knew not to take things personally and become angry. So we communicated our fears, insecurities, and feelings. We desired to help each other heal from past hurts and to grow closer to the Lord and to each other. We knew that we didn't want anything to ever come between us. And we knew that the enemy would love to use anything he can against us. And when we hold those things inside and we don't talk about them with our spouse, they just fester and they just become something bigger than they ever needed to be. So we did not want to give the enemy that advantage in our lives. And we really made sure that we talked about everything. So I'm very thankful that my husband was so strong in the Lord and that he took care of me so well. And he still continues to take care of me now that he's gone. He was a romantic, so I'm blessed to have many love notes, songs, poems, and messages, which I will treasure forever. My favorite gift for Christmas was a message in a bottle that he gave to me. It was a poem that he had written. It was just beautiful, and I treasure that. All of these things, these precious gifts he gave to me, were just within 2 years. I just have so many of them. And they remind me of how much he loved me. I can read his words of love whenever I'm sad and lonely. Not everyone is a romantic, but we can all find out what our spouse loves and what they need, and then do our best to meet those needs every day. Matthew treated me like a queen, and he was royalty to me. He said he would spend his life pursuing me, and he did. Never before had I felt so loved. He and I told each other daily how much we loved each other, and we did everything possible to carve out time just for the two of us. And sometimes that would be late at night after the kids were in bed, but we stayed up until 2 o'clock so many, many nights just because that was the time we had, and we wanted to spend as much quality time together as we could fit in. And, you know, when you have 12 kids, there's not a lot of extra time for each other. So you really have to work hard to carve that out. And so we did that. And if we can do it, you can do it. Because I'm guessing no one else here has 12 kids at home. So if we can do it, anyone can. Just so I would encourage you not to let any day go to waste and love the people that God has placed in your life. Love them well for the time that you are privileged to be with them. So now that my sweet husband is in heaven, life is very busy. I'm now a single parent to over a dozen children. I can barely keep up with all the school functions and events and games and appointments and laundry. That word makes me tired. Anyway, I'm very tired at the end of the day. And when I'm sad, I often feel like I don't want to think about anything. I just want to turn my brain off for a little while. So TV sounds like a wonderful escape at times. And lately I found myself longing for that a lot. However, the Lord has been speaking to my heart and reminding me that he is my husband. That for all of us, you know, he calls us his bride. And so he is our husband and he wants us to carve out that special time with him. So while it's easy to just flip on the TV, and I'm not saying it's not okay to watch TV, believe me, I still will. But, you know, there's so many times when I can hear him calling, turn that off, come and sit with me. You'd be sitting with Matthew right now. So come and sit with me. We are beautiful to him. We are special to him. He wants to be our husband. We are his bride. I knew this before, but I know it now in a deeper way. Matthew and I couldn't wait to be alone together. We longed for more time to sit and talk, to go for walks together. And Jesus is calling us to come and sit with him for a while. He wants us to carve out special time for him each day. He wants to give us special gifts and love notes and surround us with his glory and bathe us in his love and his affection for us. His love for us is far greater than we understand. He reminds me that as much as I know without a doubt that Matthew loved me and adored me, my Father's love for me and his adoration for me is far more, and his love for you is far more. And he doesn't want us to forget that. He desires a closer relationship with each of us, but so often we keep him waiting. We put other things first. And you know, how much happier would we be if we really allowed ourselves to fall in love with our Lord? So I encourage you to pursue a deeper relationship with Jesus. Pursue him every day. Seek him with all of your heart. Walk with him. Talk with him. Carve out time to be alone with him. One thing he's teaching me right now also is how to rest in him. There's not a lot of time for rest in my life. Since the accident, there's just many more appointments and things that I need to do. And I get stressed and I get exhausted when I do them on my own. And so when I allow myself to really turn over my time to him and sit, even if it's just for a few moments, to soak in his presence, he turns that little bit of time into a time of rest and rejuvenation for me, which, you know, it's incredible, because normally sitting alone for 15 minutes would not really give you the kind of rest you need when you're going on 4 hours of sleep every night, but he makes it work for me. Everywhere I go, people keep telling me they don't know how I do it and how I keep going, but it's very clear to me that it's God. I am weak. I am not brave. I'm in a season in my life where I must completely turn everything over to him and trust him, rely on him completely. It's like just doing a trust fall every morning when I get out of bed. And I have to let him take care of everything, because really, I can't do it all on my own. No one could. But God can get us through all of the challenges that we come across in our lives. And it's also always been easy for me and tempting to call a friend. You know, I just want to call a friend and I just want to share what I'm going through. And that's fine. And that's good. And that's a healthy, positive thing to do sometimes. But what he's showing me right now is that he wants me to go to him first. Take everything to him first. I did that with Matthew. He was my best friend, and we talked about everything, and he was the first one I wanted to share things with. And that's what the Lord wants from me now, is to go to him with everything. Go to him first, even the little things. Before our Bible study one day last week, I was running behind, trying to get the girls ready and diapers changed and find everything I needed to. And Bonnie and I go to this Bible study together. So she had taken one of the kids out to the car to buckle her in and wait for me while I brought out the baby. And I could not find my keys. And I went to the spot where the keys are and they're not there. I was looking everywhere and I thought, well, maybe Bonnie took them out to the car. But I just had a feeling she didn't. So I was looking everywhere and I was feeling just the frustration build inside of me, because I knew we were going to be late and I didn't want to make Bonnie late. And so finally I was like, okay, God, I give up. I don't know where my keys are, so I guess we're not going today. I can't find them. And then it was like, he said, you know, if Matthew were here, you'd say, hey, Matthew, can you help me find my keys? And he'd be like, sure. And he would help me find the keys. So I was like, okay, I get it. So I said, Lord, could you please help me find my keys? And right away it was like, go back to where the keys go and look there again. I'm thinking, I already looked there. I think I looked there twice and they weren't there, but okay, I will go. So I went down there and I kind of half-heartedly looked, because I knew they weren't going to be there, but they were there. So I don't know what happened, if God just sent an angel to put my keys there, or if I was just so stressed and flustered originally I didn't see them. But I was not planning to look there again, because I knew I had looked there. And so the Lord showed me that that's what I needed to do. So even in these simple, crazy little things, he cares about those things, and they're important to him, and he wants us to bring those little things to him as well. And sometimes it's just a matter of stopping and breathing and remembering that he's there and he's just waiting for us to cry out to him. We are important to him. We are not alone, and he cares more than we even do. I also want to share with you a quote from Graham Cook, which has really been great for me since the accident. He says, God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power. And I have had so many people say, why aren't you angry? Why aren't you yelling at God? Why aren't you mad? He took your husband and he left you with 12 kids. Why do you even serve him? Why aren't you cursing him now? But you know what? I've had a few moments where I have been a little upset, but really I have not had an overwhelming sense of anger. I think for me, it's more just why? Why, God? Why did you allow this to happen? But that quote really helps me because God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power. So I don't understand why God has done it. And maybe it's not important for me to understand why right now. I probably won't know all of the reasons until I'm with the Lord and Matthew again. But I know that God sees the whole picture. He sees from start to finish how this tragedy is going to affect many lives. And there's already been one person from the memorial service who gave her life to the Lord as a result of what happened with Matthew. And if that's the only thing that comes from this, Matthew would be rejoicing over that. So I just have to trust the Lord and know that he has this all under control and we are safe in his love, even when we don't understand what he is doing. So the last thing I want to say is that when I said my final goodbye to Matthew, I felt like I could not walk away from him. How do you walk away from the one that you love? And so I asked the Lord for a word. I said, Lord, I desperately need to hear something from you right now. Anything, just please speak to me. And I laid across Matthew and I just closed my eyes and I just waited. And I'm not good at that. I'm not good at just turning off my brain and listening to the Lord. But I'm getting better at it now. But that night or that afternoon, I was quiet and I was still. And I heard so clearly, he reminded me of a scripture that Matthew had put to music. And actually we had, that was the one duet that we sang together a year before he had passed away. Anyway, so it was the verse, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I leave with you. And I just felt this amazing peace come over me. And I actually dozed off, laying right there. And it was just this sweet peace. And then I felt that it was time to go. I needed to go. And that was hard to walk out of that room that last time, even though I knew Matthew wasn't there. Just not being next to him physically again was something that was really hard for me to comprehend. But I felt like the Lord said, just go. It's okay to leave now and take this peace with you and you're going to be okay. Do not be afraid, for I will be with you. So since the accident, I have felt an enormous peace. There are times when, like today, for example, I would have not been able to sleep. I would have been a nervous wreck at the thought of having to get up and speak in front of you. And definitely I was nervous and dreading this because it's not my thing. But I wasn't feeling that overwhelming sense of panic that I would have felt before. And that's just one example of how God has been working in me. And just this amazing peace that he gives to me when I need it most and throughout the day. And I just know, somehow I know, that he is going to take care of us. And there are many reasons to be fearful right now. I've got to raise 12 children by myself. No, I'm raising 12 children with the Lord. And the army of people that he has surrounded us with from our church and our friends and family. And so, and you all can be a part of that as God puts us on your heart and you just say a little prayer for the Hiller family. We would appreciate that. But truly, God has shown me his peace, which passes our understanding. his complete protection and grace and mercy that will get us through this journey and this new season of our lives. So thank you.
Up and get around mom and grandparents here. Can you come up? Turn right and face them, attaboy. It's good. From the kids' worship at the beginning to the ministry of the puppets and these kids to Gus and Bonnie Hiller's magic behind the stage to Wendy's sharing. Have you heard from God today? Yeah. Have you been touched in any way that the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can ask or even think? Have you? I hope you have. I hope you understand that whatever it is you're going through, probably can't top that, huh? Would you put your hand this way and let's just pray for this family. Lord Jesus, we are in awe of how you work in our lives. We ask your blessing now on each and every one from the oldest to the youngest. Oh God, let them come so close to you that each day they are fulfilling what Wendy has taught us to do, is to trust in you and to be close to you, to listen to your voice, oh God. So bless them, keep them healthy, keep them safe, and continue the wonder in their lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. So let me give you four quick words and ask you to put something together in your mind as you hear each word. When you hear the word love, does something start working? If I add the word courtship to the word love, does something else connect? If I add the word romance to love and courtship, so love, courtship, romance, do you get something more? And ultimately marriage, you heard a lot about love, courtship, romance, and marriage. I would ask you to come tonight and watch one of the most amazing teachings on this process, because as Wendy was sharing, it's a lot more than about anything human as it is about something that God established. And it is about him, for he is the creator of love and courtship and romance and marriage. Amen? So, Dayspring, please come tonight. Give them another hand. Thank the Hiller team. We have refreshments to enjoy, and feel free to come up and talk with any and all. Good to see you. Good to be back.